First Samuel 17, the whole chapter. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight to the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield-bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you, the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and who had 8 sons. And the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." So Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things, and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it will be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for them. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose up against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, Yahweh, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Go, and Yahweh be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came, and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day Yahweh will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that Yahweh does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is Yahweh's. He will give you into our hands. And so it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose, and shouted, and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley into the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shaarayim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, Inquire whose son this young man is. Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son are you, young man? So David answered, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. And thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant words. It's a very famous passage. Sadly, the passage is famous for some things that aren't even true. We don't know that Goliath was dead. In fact, probably he doesn't die until he gets his head chopped off with his own sword. I grew up being taught that David had killed the lion and the bear with a sling and a stone. Not that he had jumped the lion and killed him with his bare hands, by yanking on his beard and beating him to death. David is not probably the scrawny little boy in all the cute little Bible illustrations. He's young. The way you could tell he hadn't been to war yet is he's not all hacked up with scars like Goliath is, but he's still good looking. But he's very strong. He doesn't reject Saul's armor because it's too big for him. He rejects Saul's armor because it isn't tried out yet, and you don't go into battle with untested equipment. So David is strong and wise and a whole lot better than the stories make him out to be. So we've got famous men. Goliath is pretty famous. He thought pretty highly of himself. Saul thought pretty highly of him. Didn't think very highly of David. Thought David was too young and inexperienced. But the point of the passage is not a famous man or a famous victory. It's a famous God. The point of the victory was so that all the earth would know that there was a God in Israel. And that all of the Israelites, they were running in fear. Every time they saw the Philistine, every one of them should have known that the Lord saves by his strong arm. And it's not a matter of how strong or skilled they are. That God has a people that he has set apart to himself by what we know is the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as signified in circumcision. And David says, how can you guys let this uncircumcised Philistine say these things and scare you as if the living God doesn't exist? And so it's not just Philistines who need to know that there's a God in Israel. It's the men of Israel, all this assembly, he uses a word that we might even translate church or congregation, shall know that Yahweh does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is Yahweh's, and he will give you into our hands. Obviously, there's a lot more in this chapter. It's a long chapter. But that's the main thing. It's not you need to be as strong or as brave as David. It's not recognize the Goliath in your life so that you can defeat it. It's recognize the Lord who is in your life so that everything, big or small, is to be faced trusting in him, serving him, and confident that God, who has set you apart for himself by the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, is not going to let you ultimately be destroyed. Even if you love not your life unto death and you die, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. Indeed, you didn't receive circumcision as a covenant sign, you received baptism as a covenant sign, because Jesus has come, and he has died, and he has risen again, and he has ascended to the throne, and he sits on the throne of glory, ruling all things, until his enemies are made a footstool for his feet. So baptism signifies to you that Jesus' blood is already shed and washes you clean from your sin. And baptism signifies that he does this washing, applying of his blood to you, by pouring out his spirit from where he sits. Christian baptism is a reminder that our resurrected Redeemer is sitting on the throne of heaven. And so if David could draw all of this theology and see the seal of it in circumcision and have that confidence in what God was going to do, may not we, by the Holy Spirit applying to us his word and his sacrament, have every confidence that the Lord will bring us at last into that which he is determined to give us in his love and by his will. Sophia, can God do all things?
Yes, he can do all his holy will.
Yes, God can do all his holy will. And that holy will is to redeem all those whom he has brought to himself by faith in Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would bless to us this portion of your word, that you would be glorified by what you do in our lives, that you would give us a holy indignation when either others are not giving you the credit that you deserve, or even when we ourselves are anxious and fearful. Make us indignant at our sin, and bring us to repentance, restoring confidence and hope in you, and making us willing to employ all that you have given us and enabled us to do in your service. We thank you that even if we die, yet we shall live. And we who live by faith in you will never die. We ask that you would help us not to be impressed by men or moments nearly as much as we are impressed by you. Grant that you would dwarf all of the things and people and powers put together, that you would have the great place in our mind and in our heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.